Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of We're Getting a Dog.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode.
Thank you all so much for sticking with us as we've taken all these kind of weird random breaks.
Yeah, sorry about it.
Yeah, this past week was tough. We lost Wilson, who was our family beagle, and we talked a lot about Wilson on this show. And
yeah, you grew up with him.
Yeah, and we had a couple fans on Instagram leave really nice comments, and I just want to say thank you to those of you
thanks.
And who just showed your support and love. It was his time, and I'm happy he's frolicking in the universe now. And with Sydney, his partner beagle. So
across the universe.
Yeah, it just was a little too triggering to do the show. So I held off another week, but we are back this week. Woo. With a new dog breed.
Hooray.
Dylan, how have you been?
Oh, good. Yeah, apart from that.
That's good. It was tough, but I had to kind of get back into the swing of things to feel better. So we are going to talk all about the American Cocker Spaniel this week.
Ooh, now, American.
Yes, I'm going to get to that.
Just so, like you and me.
Yep. I mean, yeah. There are two distinct breeds of Cocker Spaniel, the English version and the more known American version. There was no official distinction made between the two until the 1940s, and it happened first here in America. Because this breed was so known before the separation of the two breeds, and because many refer to them just as a Cocker Spaniel, for this episode, if I refer to them without saying American, I'm just referring to the American version.
Okay, yeah, probably won't say American every time.
Yeah, no.
I'll just say the ACS.
We could say the ACS, too, the American Cocker Spaniel. Yeah, I actually did use that abbreviation.
The American Cospan.
Actually, in my written notes, it was Amer C-SPAN.
Well, so. It just sounds like C-SPAN.
Yeah, I know, but that way I remember it. So, this breed is the smallest of the sporting group, but they boast great agility and endurance.
That's interesting.
Yes. I didn't realize that they were the sporting group for some reason.
Yeah, I always forget, Spaniels, how they fit in with everything.
Mm-hmm. Cocker Spaniels have a quite go-getting and merry attitude, and something that I found interesting that is mentioned in their standard is that a dog well-balanced in all parts is more desirable than a dog with a strongly contrasting good point and fault.
We always want balance.
Yes, I agree.
I think a lot of the general descriptions ask for balance.
Sure.
That's what I notice.
Yes. So, male Cocker Spaniels are 15 inches tall, while females are 14 inches tall, and they should have a goal weight of 25 to 30 pounds and 20 to 25 pounds, respectively, per each sex.
Oh, yeah, they're smaller than I thought.
Definitely, yeah, very small. Mm-hmm. They may be up to 1/2 inch above or below their stated height requirement. However, any dog that is 1/2 inch tall, more than 1/2 inch taller, will be disqualified. Whereas being more than 1/2 inch shorter is just a penalization.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
The Cocker Spaniel should move freely and quickly. Though smaller than the English variety, their legs are longer for their size, so they are zippy. According to one of the books I used for this episode, they should be long enough to ensure a free-moving gait, but never long and low to the ground. So they should be like a little bit like long and like the full length of the dog. They're not like a perfect square of a dog, so to speak.
Right, okay.
Their head is balanced in proportion to their body and appears soft and intelligent in expression. Their eyes are always dark colored, and any color other than dark brown is also grounds for disqualification from their standard. Though their eyes appear almond in shape due to their skull's outlining of their eyebrow, their eyes are actually round. So, it's just an optical illusion.
Aren't all eyes actually round?
I thought that was a good pun. Because it's talking about their eyes.
I see.
That's kind of deep. I don't know.
There's so many layers.
The joke is like an onion.
It works on so many levels.
What were you going to say?
Well, aren't all eyes actually round?
My left one's not because I have astigmatism.
Oh, is that what astigmatism? Well, I meant like the whole eyeball.
I don't know. I mean, it's roundish. Well, also because of this detailing in their eye region, they do not have much prominence in their cheekbones, which gives their muzzle a very square shape that reflects its jawline. So they have a very square muzzle and then a very round domed head.
Mm. Well, like a poodle, kind of?
Poodles have the fur that accentuates it. Cocker Spaniels tend to just have like a very domed head that like kind of Their eyes look like kind of inset into it almost a little bit. The English Cocker Spaniel has a bit of a longer face.
Okay, that's probably more like a poodle. Yeah.
Yes, that would make more sense. Their nose color depends on the color of the dog. So for Cocker Spaniels with a black-based coat color, their nose is black. Otherwise, depending on their coloring, their nose may be brown or liver-colored, although the darker is considered better. So darker is considered better for a nose color for this breed. The breed is not throaty, and their neck is long enough to allow for their nose to reach the ground to search for things quite easily. Their neck descends into a deep chest, and its lowest point is no higher than the elbows.
Mm-hmm. So I guess they're bred to find things on the ground?
Kinda, yeah. I think, well, mostly they're bred to, well, like, hunt. They were hunting dogs, so they're bred to kind of, like, point things out, find things, do some light retrieval work, you know. Yeah. It changed over time, too, which we'll get to in the history. Finally, their tail is docked, but it is still very much active and merry. The Cocker Spaniel is a very well-balanced dog in general, which adds to its musculoskeletal strength.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Now, for the coat and color. Now, this is a little complicated. So, as far as their coat, they are double-coated. Their fur is a silky, flat, or slightly wavy coat, and the texture is easy to care for. Trimming is done to show the true lines of the dog in a more distinguished fashion, but not so much that it looks unnatural. Now, color. This is where this gets complicated, because the standard, like, half of the standard is an explanation on color. So, it's, yeah, intense. There are many specifications regarding the colors of the Cocker Spaniel, and their standard provides a very in-depth explanation of those requirements. But to break it down simply, American Cocker Spaniels have these three color varieties. The first are black variety, which may include tan points and white on their chest and throat. The next one...
Sounds pretty straightforward.
That's straightforward. The next one is any solid color other than black, or...
Wait.
In their standard, it is abbreviated to ASCOB. So that is literally the classification, and it's any color from cream color to darkest red, including brown. White is allowed on the chest, and a lighter base color is allowed on the ears and feathering.
Well, it doesn't mean like any other color is allowed, though, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, you can get any color, any solid color other than black, but it can't, I think it just can't be like... I've never seen a blue one. I've never seen really a gray one.
Never seen a green one.
Oh my god. Not all colors of the rainbow.
Well, that's what all colors means.
The next one is party colored variety, which is two or more solid but well broken up colors. And that one is kind of the most well known, which I have a picture of here. Okay. They have like the really deeply colored ears and eyes, and then they have like the little white tuft on the head that spreads to the rest of their body. The rest of their body is usually like white. So
right, I think that's what I think of usually.
That's usually what people think of.
Cocker Spaniels.
I do like the red
party colors.
Yeah, P A R T I. I don't know why it's. I don't know why it's party. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, those four. Yeah,
maybe it's like party
in front of a green screen. You could put a party right behind them,
like part of them. But it's like they have two of them. I don't know. And finally, for the last of the basic breed description for the American Cocker Spaniel, they are the smallest of the sporting group of dog breeds. At one point, the ease of companionship and popularity of their appearances in shows led them to the top spot on the AKC's registration list. They're quite outgoing dogs who enjoy being active with others, whether that be with dogs or people. So that's just kind of the basics of this breed of dog. What do you think so far?
Yeah, sound pretty fun.
Yeah, my grandmother had a Cocker Spaniel, like an American Cocker Spaniel, obviously. And it was very cute, very hyper, though.
Right, yeah.
From what
sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we will come right back with the history of this breed. And they are not from where you think they're from.
They're not from America?
No. We'll get to this in a moment.
It says American.
we'll take credit. We'll be back.
Stay tuned.
Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network,
head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/weregettingadog or our website, weregettingadog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show.
All right, we are back with the history of the American Cocker Spaniel.
How American is it?
They're from England.
Of course.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to get to is a breakdown of the word spaniel. So, the most commonly accepted belief surrounding the origin of the word spaniel is that it's derived from the Spanish word español, which means Spaniard.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember that ever coming up in our spaniel episodes.
Well, I found this in a book, about this breed, so... Anyway, however, the written evidence available points out that the first knowledge of this breed possibly came from documentation of Welsh origin that dates back to 914 AD. So, Wales is not Spain, and so I think...
Close enough.
It's also possible that the word spaniel was taken from the Italian espanier, which means to get out of a net, which may relate to how they hunted birds and other fowl by chasing them into nets.
Okay, I'm getting a little more related to the
dog. Yeah, that one I kind of was like, I could see that. Granted, I'm not like approving or disapproving of any of these theories, it's just different theories.
The Spanish don't really seem to have anything to do with the origins of the breed.
Well, okay. I'm about to get to that. So we're going to talk now about the pre-modern history. So that first written account that I mentioned was cited as 914 AD. The first modern depiction didn't come until the 14th century. So it's kind of quite a bit longer of a ways down the line. So it should be noted, though, that they've long been thought to have originated in Spain. Both the American and English Cocker Spaniel, though, originated in England. But they are descendants of Spaniels that date back to Spanish origin and antiquity. So they're kind of like the Spanish dogs that we would get the term Spaniel from, if it's true to the Spanish theory. They are like ancient dogs that predate the Cocker Spaniel by a long shot. But they're descendants of those dogs.
There's reminiscent of some Spanish dogs of some time.
Yes. Possibly. They were not yet distinctly called Cocker Spaniels, though. For a long time, up until the modern era, they were all collectively referred to as just Spaniels. And one of the several anthologies of animals published between the 16th and 18th century, so there were these, you know, there would be these travelers who would document all the animals they could find in a given region of the world, and then they would publish it in this massive anthology. It was kind of like the early encyclopedia, so
kind of
to
like
speak.
The early Pokemon Pokedex.
Yeah, sure. It's
early Ash Ketchum types.
Yep. Just traveling Europe, got to catch them all. So anyway, they would publish Spaniels as they were. Well, okay, here. They would classify Spaniels as one of the five types of dogs. So at one point, their status was really elevated to like Spaniels are their own type of canine. And I think some people would still view that as pretty relevant, considering there are a lot of different Spaniels throughout.
So, like, Cocker Spaniels were the original Spaniel?
No. No? There was just Spaniels at one point. Just Spaniel.
Okay, I thought you were saying that, like, Spaniels were, like, what they used to call just Spaniels.
Because
now there's so many different breeds.
They are an iteration of what they used to just call Spaniels.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, but in these big anthologies, Spaniels were thought of as like, oh, there's hounds, there's mastiffs, there's this one, and then there's, I don't know, the fourth one, and or the fifth one.
Mastiffs.
Or the third or the fourth one, and then
there's Spitz.
Yes. And then there'd be Spaniels. So
and then there's the little ones.
So what I'm trying to say is that they were kind of this big mass of dog identities at one point.
Right.
And then by the late 17th century, hunters were breeding their Spaniels to have more specified skills and instincts concerning their hunting. Where traditionally the British Spaniel, not the English Spaniel, this is a fluke I made in my writing. So any spaniel brought up in Great Britain, they were used for hunting on land. But some hunters were now starting to use them for water hunting. And then when guns came along, the usage of spaniels changed from driving and trapping fowl and birds into nets rather than to the dogs becoming pointing and like light retrieving dogs. So spaniels' roles changed when guns became like widely available.
It changed a few times, or at least were very adaptable.
Yes, and that actually is one of the things that they're noted for, is their adaptability in the field. Mm-hmm. English Cocker Spaniels were first distinguished as their own Spaniel type in 1790 by the English artist Thomas Bewick. It's B-E-W-I-C-K. That's what I kind of thought it sounded looked like, too. They got their name because of how their short stature enabled them to hunt woodcocks, which they were often found in dense cover. So Cocker Spaniels are small, so they can crawl into the undergrowth and get the woodcock. So they were called Cocker Spaniels.
What is a woodcock?
It's a bird.
I'm not familiar with a woodcock.
I'm going to look at here. American woodcock is... The American woodcock, disgusting, also known as the timber doodle, Labrador twister, night partridge, and bog sucker.
This gets worse and worse.
They're a bird. Oh, they're also known as the hokum poke.
What is wrong with this bird that gets all these terrible names?
They have the least concern of conservation status.
They're just killing it out there.
But yeah,
don't worry about the woodcock.
They're a bird, and cocker spaniels can get to them.
The woodcock is the origin of cocker.
Yes.
In spaniel.
So now we're
Spanish
to the
Spanish woodcock.
Now we're to the modern era. Stop misleading our listeners. They weren't Spanish. English Cocker Spaniels continued to have a prize distinction, and throughout the early to mid-1800s, there were rules and regulations put in place to separate them away from the Field Spaniel, which, you know, there's like the Springer, there's a lot of different Spaniels.
Is a Field Spaniel still a breed today?
I think that has even been broken down into its own specific breed types, but back then, that was the distinction that had to be made, was Cocker Spaniels are different from the other Field Spaniels.
So spaniels were also just like a wide variety of working.
Yes. Oh,
breeds.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
The field and hunting and.
Yeah, totally.
The water.
The English Cocker Spaniel was also noted at this time for its companionship qualities. In the latter part of the 19th century, a chain of events took place that set up the breed for international success. Ooh.
Ooh.
It starts in 1878 when a liver and white English Cocker Spaniel named Captain became the first to register with the AKC, and then they recognized the breed, just Cocker Spaniel, that same year. In 1879, just a year later, the first modern example of the American Cocker Spaniel was born in England. And that, his name was, I think it was Oboe.
So it was Captain, an American Cocker Spaniel?
Captain was a English Cocker Spaniel.
Okay.
So then an English Cocker Spaniel was registered by the AKC, but they just registered him as a Cocker Spaniel.
So wait, and the first American Cocker Spaniel was born in England?
Yes.
Why did they call it American then?
I'm getting there, Dylan. Just stick with me. I'm getting there. Just hang on. Okay. So Captain was an English Cocker Spaniel.
Right.
Oboe the first is an American Cocker Spaniel, but he was like the prototype. A couple years later, in 1881, the American Spaniel Club, which was originally known confusingly as the American Cocker Spaniel Club, was formed.
But originally for English Cocker
Spaniels.
No.
It was just for Cocker Spaniels.
Which happened to be English originally.
Sure, yeah. In 1883, the UK Kennel Club began registering the Cocker Spaniel as a distinct breed. But it was just the Cocker Spaniel.
Right.
In 1885, the Spaniel Club of England sets their first breed standard for the English Cocker Spaniel. So this is the first time the word English Cocker Spaniel are published. Those words are published together.
And they officially said, Oboe, you're not allowed in.
No.
Get out of here,
Oboe
the
first.
Oboe
was considered just like...
Go to America.
A great example of like the future of the breed still. And then finally in 1892, the UK Kennel Club recognizes the Cocker Spaniel just as its own full breed. Now, We're going to America, where I'll finish explaining that.
Oboed better come back into this.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Okay, so though primarily brought up in England, by 1900, the Cocker Spaniel was really getting popular in America.
Oboe's getting pretty old.
In 1921.
Oboe's long dead.
I'm getting back to him. Calm down. I'm
just concerned about Oboe's legacy.
In 1921, a Cocker Spaniel won the Westminster Best in Show, which really propelled their popularity in both countries. One sire named Robin Hurst Forglow, though never a champion himself, he became the most important Cocker Spaniel of his, the most important American Cocker Spaniel, note that,
his day.
Yes, his skeletal structure set him apart in that it refined the newer American style of the breed that Oboe kind of was the first example of. So Oboe was the prototype, and then Robin Hurst Forglow came along and he was like the ideal. Like, oh, we really would like it if Oboe looked more like Robin Hurst Forglow.
Okay, so Oboe was also an ideal for the English Cocker Spaniel, yes. But then, yeah, the Americans took a different dog that looked a lot like Oboe and was like...
But it was, like, distinct enough that he was a little... Yeah, it was distinct enough that he was a little bit taller and a little bit, like... But a little
What's that dog's name?
Robin Hurst Forglow.
Robin Hurst Forglow.
Yes. Okay, so he was sired a lot... He was never a champion, but he sired a lot of different, like, dogs. And of the 38 litters that were his... One of his offspring, named Brucey, went on to completely define the American Cocker Spaniel look, and he won Best in Show 3 times, once at Essex and twice consecutively at Westminster in 1940 and 1941.
Wow.
He died, though, when he was just 8, and his death was reported internationally.
Oh.
So he was a very, very popular dog.
Why? It was mid-19th century?
This was the... No, this was 1940.
Oh, 1940.
This
okay.
We're coming up on the war era now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of... Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Here we go. So now... And by 1935, the American Cocker Spaniel was beginning to dominate the show circles, and the older English style was mostly returning to working in the field or just becoming companion pets. So they were not popular in the show ring anymore. That same year, separate classes for the American and English Cocker Spaniels were created in the AKC... While the English Cocker Spaniel Club of America was established, so there was a separate distinctive club for the two now emerging breed types.
Okay, just because of Forglow inspiring
and Oboe, yes.
New breeding for the American Cocker Spaniels.
Mm-hmm. And in 1938...
And I guess, yeah, they're smaller. Yeah.
They are. And they're also, like, floofier. In 1938, it was agreed upon that the interbreeding of an English Cocker Spaniel and an American Cocker Spaniel would cause the offspring of such a litter to be disqualified from either standard, so they couldn't be mixed and used as a show dog.
So that's a weird sort of distinction. So that is that like the official point where they become separate breeds?
On paper, yeah. And I think it's when... But it's only between the clubs. It has nothing to do with the actual, like... kennel clubs, yeah.
Ah. Well, it reminds me of, like, distinctions between species.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
We're like, you can have an offspring, but...
It won't be...
Won't reproduce, but in this case, it just won't be eligible for
being recorded, yeah, for being talked about. So, okay. In 1946, it was decided that Oboe the Second, who was the direct offspring of Oboe the First... He had sired a bunch of Cocker Spaniels as well, and it was decided that he was not of British origin, but rather that his breed type was American Cocker Spaniel. So this is when Oboe is officially recognized. Oboe and his offspring, Oboe the Second,
50 years posthumous.
Yes, they're officially recognized as American Cocker Spaniels.
Okay, thank God.
And then it wasn't until 1970 that the AKC separated the American and English Cocker Spaniels into two distinct breeds rather than two separate classifications within one breed name. So in 1970, they officially became American Cocker Spaniel and English Cocker Spaniel. And if you go to their website, they are listed that way. They are not just Cocker Spaniel. From 1940 to 1952, the American Cocker Spaniel was the number one registered breed in America, and that title then reclaimed from 1984 to 1990.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty impressive.
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah. Since then, they've steadily declined in popularity, but still remain pretty strong in registration numbers. As of this year, 2022, the American Cocker Spaniel ranks at number 30 of 204 mm-hmm. most registered breeds.
Still pretty far a drop from where they were, just like in, what, 1990?
30 years ago. Yeah. And I wonder what caused the resurgence. I couldn't really find anything that caused them to become that popular again. I think they just maybe... They had always been in the top
this
five
lady and the tramp.
Between night. Well, in the article I read, I mean, maybe, when did Lady and the Tramp come out?
I have no idea.
Between the 50s and the 80s, they were always in the top five. And I think they just came back up to those spots in those 6 years. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the history of the American Cocker Spaniel. So it's pretty, there's some holes left in it, which I think we'll fill in once we get to the English Cocker Spaniel. And we talk about that breed because I think that'll
next
give
week.
Us no God. Maybe
you don't
next
know my
season.
Breed,
but either way, what do you think so far?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Definitely
the divergence between two breeds.
Oh yeah, I mean it was very while confusing. It was interesting to read about how these distinctions were finally kind of made and. When there's people deciding, oh, well, we're going to decide that this dog was actually an American Cocker Spaniel, not an English one because right. of how it looks. And like you said, it was like 50 years later. So,
well, yeah, the Oboe officially getting recognized.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But they weren't really like actively working to make American Cocker Spaniels.
No.
Like, until then. Until after
it wasn't until
Furglow.
Like the 30s. Yeah, until Robinhurst Furglow. Furglow. I don't remember what it was. But either way, that's the history of this breed, and we are going to take another break, and then we will be back with the ownership and training and famous Cocker Spaniels.
Ooh.
We'll be back. All right, welcome back. We are going to talk a little bit now about the breed training of the American Cocker Spaniel.
They sound like they're very energetic, should be.
They are very energetic, yeah, from what I remember. So for necessary...
Eager to train, but a handful.
Yes, exactly. So for necessary training, the first one that is talked about in all the sources is socialization. So puppy training classes are highly recommended to enhance the required socialization for this breed. They're very excitable and will need to learn their boundaries quickly to learn to respect the space of others, as well as to learn to balance their time dedicated to playing with other dogs and people and time when they just need to learn how to entertain themselves.
Yeah, they sound like a real smaller to medium sized dog that acts like a big dog.
Yeah, that's definitely true, especially since they're part of the sporting group, which is full of much larger dogs.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Command training, you know, that's required for every dog. So during the required command training for all dogs, it was specifically noted in one of the books that for Cocker Spaniels, that scratching them under their chin and on their upper chest is a good way to assure them during their training. So that's something I guess puppies expect you to do of this breed. It literally said in the book, they expect you to scratch them when they do something good. So, okay. And of course, negativity is never recommended when it comes to training any dog. And you may use treat training always as a way to give them a small reward after they get something right. So that's I've been hearing a lot of different people tell me about the treats they use for treat training, because you use those little pill pocket things, right, for one of your dogs?
Oh yeah, one of
like
the dogs
you
I want
to give like little treats.
Yeah, she's pretty picky.
Is it Ginger?
Yeah, that's what
of
she likes.
It's Ginger.
Little pill pockets.
Yeah, for I've seen in like Petco, they have the little training treats now. They're just like, they look like little pellets now.
Oh yeah, I've used those too. Yeah, dogs always seem to like the peanut butter ones. Or
yeah,
sometimes
for
their
sure.
meat, I think.
So that's always a good way to reward them. It's not like give them giant treats after they do something right.
Yeah, I have another dog that's like a peanut butter bottle. Squeeze out and he licks it up. He's afraid of other dogs. So yeah, another dog comes by, just give him some peanut butter. Relax him.
I feel like peanut butter is the universal like stopper for a dog, because they have to stop what they're doing to get it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going into training difficulty now for this breed. Most sources indicate that while the American Cocker Spaniel is a people pleaser and is eager to learn, they're also full of energy and must have interactive playtime. Cocker Spaniels are intelligent dogs and will want to have playtime and training that can challenge them. They rank at number 20 on Stanley Coren's list, which I actually was really impressed by, to be honest.
Yeah.
They are also somewhat overwhelming with strangers, but with time they will adapt to a new person's presence within your home.
Overwhelming?
Yeah, so they'll get very excited.
Jump all over them.
Yeah, maybe like, you know, pee when they're still a puppy or older. But keeping a good routine with their exercise is also very important, as it can help you to know when they'll be tired throughout their day by giving them multiple opportunities to exercise.
No, yeah.
So that leads us now to owning an American Cocker Spaniel. So the first thing is grooming. So this, I really wanted to talk about grooming first for this breed.
Yeah, the hair looks very interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on, really.
Well, they require a trip to the groomer to be trimmed every 4 to 6 weeks, and they do require bathing every other week or every week if you are working them in the field. Otherwise, you should be able to, if they're just in the home, you should be able to get away with, you know, bathing is necessary if they get into something, but otherwise the groom, a lot of articles said that a one trip to the groomer every month was fine for a bath and a trim. And a blowout, all that stuff. It's recommended to brush their teeth every day, brush their coat every 3 days to prevent matting and tangles, and to check their ears every time you brush them as well. They have very large ears, and that can cause problems if they're not looked after properly.
Yeah, is it simple to just brush through the ears?
There's lots of recommendations online for using like natural bristle brush or like a wire bristle comb to like comb their fur through. There's also products you can buy now that detangle and like specific groomer at home products for brushing out mats and tangles. So a lot of websites recommended asking a groomer or a vet about what you can have at home just to get stuff out of their fur if they get into something.
The ears in this, photo, the hair just looks so much longer and thicker on
it
the ears.
It is, but they have very, I remember from my grandmother's Cocker Spaniel, they had very, like, leathery, thick ears. Like, it is very, like, there's a lot of skin. And the fur is very feathery and curly, so it just makes them look huge. Yeah. So, the next thing is the common health concerns that apply to an American Cocker Spaniel. The first is progressive retinal atrophy, elbow and hip dysplasia, patellar luxation, epilepsy, enlarged heart and congestive heart failure, urinary stones, hypothyroidism, which is the decreased production of metabolic hormones from the thyroid, chemical deficiency causing anemia, and allergies. So nothing that we haven't talked about on this show before. Everything seemed pretty common as far as none of it's good, but I mean, it's nothing like they don't have some crazy disease that this one single breed is like prone to. Their life expectancy is 10 to 14 years, which is pretty average, I would say.
Yeah.
And I did find an article about the oldest American Cocker Spaniel. It was from Sherman Oaks, California, reportedly lived to be 22 years of age.
Wow.
Yeah. There's two articles I found, one on NPR and one on, I think it was like some random like local newspaper.
How does it feel to be 22 years old?
Well, it's cited at 22, and I don't know if it lived longer than that. But,
As of now, they're 22? Still going?
No, this article came out maybe a decade ago now. So
could be 32.
No, I don't think.
Who knows?
I think there'd be an article out if they were 32.
They're just waiting.
So the last thing we're going to talk about are famous American Cocker Spaniels. We have photos of these as well in the links. The first one is the Nixon family's dog, Checkers, who was the most famous presidential dog to have never lived in the White House.
Right, yeah, because he was in the speech before he was president.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot he was a Cocker Spaniel.
Mm-hmm. The next
looks
is
more like an Oreo.
Yeah. The next is George Clooney's Cocker Spaniel Einstein, who was featured in an article with him. He kind of became social media famous after that. Oprah Winfrey had two American Cocker Spaniels named Sophie and Solomon, who she's pictured with. It's very 90s.
Yeah, definitely.
I forgot that this was an American Cocker Spaniel. The Coppertone dog, like from the original Coppertone ad, is a Cocker Spaniel, which I forgot. And the last, of course, is Lady from Disney's Lady and the Tramp. So we had to include that.
That I know.
Yes, absolutely. But those are some famous American Cocker Spaniels for you. And that's all I've got on this breed.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I really like this breed. I think if we had a big yard, you know, a lot of space, this breed would definitely fit in.
Yeah, definitely. I'm impressed. It's a lot more interesting appealing of a breed than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think they're just very lovable, and they...
I didn't know they were a sporting breed.
Me neither. You know, I figured, though, if it was a... Well, what's the Cavalier King Charles?
They're either toy or... What's that? Miscellaneous?
Miscellaneous, yeah. Well, with this one, I was interested just because... I was interested to hear or to figure out that their name came from the fact that they hunted a bird called a woodcock, and they were just called a Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's such a... interesting way to name the dog. It's just after what they hunted, pretty much, and that's what made them so distinctive in their own class.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I really like this breed. I've had experiences with one that were really good. My grandmother had one for a while, and then she had to give it up because she became too old to care for it. Mm-hmm. But it was a cute dog. I mean, very friendly. So I really do like, I wanted to cover this breed for a long time, so I'm glad that I did it finally for this season.
Yeah, never you knew they used to be so popular either.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were so popular. I mean, I knew that people had them, but I didn't realize they were like number one for pretty much all of the war and just after the post-war era, before the Cold War, they were the number one dog. And I, yeah, that just kind of strikes me funny. And in the late 80s, in the mid to late 80s as well.
Big comeback.
Big comeback in the 80s.
We'll come back again.
I mean, they're number 30, but I wonder, though, if people now, especially people like big dogs, you know, that's what they want. Those are kind of what rules.
Well, there's the always little five, dogs coming in vogue.
Yeah.
Shibas and French bulldogs are,
but they're very like, they're very fashionable, like in the moment, trendy type dogs, I feel. Yeah.
I feel like Cocker Spaniels could come back into fashion again.
Possibly. Maybe in our lifetime. They are cute. They're friendly. They're also very fun for families. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we got to cover this breed finally.
All right. It's time for Boopity Boop Boot Dog News.
Ooh. What's the news?
This is coming from Florida Today. It was published today. Monday, April 18th. Sharks caused delay in East Coast Dog Surfing Championships in Cocoa Beach. No dogs were hurt.
I've been to Cocoa Beach before.
Really?
Yeah.
Did sharks cause delays in an East Coast dog surfing championship?
I remember. Although I do remember there were signs on the beach saying, like, caution for sharks.
Caution for surfing dogs?
I don't remember that sign.
Well, apparently it's, well, according to visitspacecoast.com, Brevard Humane Society was hosting the 10th annual East Coast Dog Surfing Festival, presented by Ron John Surf Shop.
Of course, it's presented by Ron John Surf Shop.
It's an annual event every Easter weekend for the last 10 years.
Could be fun.
But this year, there's a 30-minute shark timeout.
Yeah, all I imagine is like, you know, in Wayne's World when they're playing street hockey and they say, like, car. I was like, shark.
Well, yes, it is an event presented by the Humane Society, the Brevard Humane Society, Brevard County.
Cool.
Not a lot else other than this is a strange event and there's some adorable pictures of dogs on surfboards.
Well, if you want to read the article, we'll have it in our links. So,
yeah, the main photo is a Chihuahua in a life vest that looks just like the life vest we put Zelda in, the Pomeranian.
Oh. Well, cute. Well, I'm glad that no one was harmed when the sharks came to watch the dog surf. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Is that all for Boopity Boop Dog News?
Yeah, that's all the news I got.
Well, all right. That is this week's episode of We're Getting a Dog. As always, we'd like to thank our patrons for supporting us, as well as all of you listeners for listening. And if you are subscribed, thank you. If you have not subscribed, please do so. And we will be back next week with another dog breed. And it'll be Dylan's turn for the dog breed.
Ooh.
All right. Well, we will see you next time. And Dylan, why don't you take us out?
Remember to help out your local shelters any way you can, whether that's donating, volunteering, fostering, or adopting. And help out your local pet populations by having your pets spayed or neutered.
Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked,
and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at wgad@arcadiapodcastnetwork.com or on our Instagram @weregettingadog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.
When you wake up in the morning and get ready for the day, what's the one thing you're sure you won't miss? Well, according to the National Coffee Association, if you're like 64% of all Americans, you're probably going to have a cup of coffee. Hi, my name is Richard Eisloffel, and I love coffee. I've been drinking it consistently since I was about 15 years old and have worked off and on as a barista for over 4 years. Though I haven't worked in the coffee field for some time now, I've recently took an interest in knowing more about coffee. Its origins, its history, its chemical makeup, how we get different flavor profiles, and its current cultural status. To do this, I turned to my best friend of over 10 years, Wesley Van Hoosen.
Hello there, I'm Wesley.
He is probably the most well-read person I know. Books have always been a part of his life, and I know that, like myself, he has a thirst for knowledge. So I asked him one day, Wesley, do you know any good books on coffee? To which he responded,
No, actually, none that I've ever found.
And I have to say, that took me by surprise. You would think out there, somewhere, is a manuscript detailing everything you need to know about coffee, from how it's made to how it made its way into the fabric of our society. But no, there really isn't. So that's when Wesley and I decided to do it ourselves.
Welcome to Coffee's On, where every episode we'll learn something new about the marvelous beverage that is coffee. In this popcorn-style series, we'll use every episode to do a deep dive into some facet of coffee consumption or production.
And with every episode, we'll be trying a new brew of coffee, so we can continue to open our palates as well as our minds.
In addition, we'll close each episode with a fun fact, myth, or legend about this magical drink.
So tune in during your morning routine, daily commute, or afternoon pick-me-up, and we'll tell you all there is to know about the most consumed beverage in America.
You can listen to Coffee's On Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. From the Arcadia Podcast Network.